This is WFYI News Now. It's November 28th, and I'm Darian Benson. Later in the show from Side Effects Public Media, veterinarians are at least 2 times more likely to die by suicide than the general public.
As a veterinary student, you're striving to still get the best grades and be president of all these clubs, and then it carries on into being a practicing veterinary professional.
What's behind the mental health crisis? That's coming up, but first, these headlines. Electric bills for Indianapolis area residents were expected to go up by more than $17 a month. Now, that increase could be less than $10 a month. Rebecca Thiel reports that's according to a settlement AES Indiana reached between consumer advocates, the city of Indianapolis, and companies like Walmart and Rolls-Royce.
The Citizens Action Coalition originally opposed the increase, but says the settlement is a good deal for consumers. Among other things, it bans shutoffs on weekends and certain holidays, further delays disconnects for medically fragile Hoosiers, and allows late fees for some lower-income customers to be waived once every 12 months. Executive Director Kerwin Olson says the settlement can't set precedent for other utilities, but it might encourage changes to state law.
Sends a signal out there that we do have to address and be concerned with our medically fragile households. We do have to do something to address the high number of disconnections.
AES Indiana says the increase will pay for things like making its electric grid more modern and resilient, promoting job creation, expanding ways to pay bills, and tree trimming. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Rebecca Thiel.
If the Indiana Utility Regulatory Commission approves the settlement, AES customers could see higher bills starting next summer. And it was confirmed over Thanksgiving weekend that a small plane crash last week in Fairland, Indiana, left 2 men dead, Bloomington restaurant owner Nathan Finney and flight instructor Warren Bruhl. Finney and Bruhl were the only people on board when their plane crashed in a cornfield near Shelbyville Municipal Airport on November 22nd. Bruhl was training Finney, who had recently purchased the plane. Finney owned and created Finney Hospitality Group, which includes local restaurants and franchises, Smokeworks, The Tap, Social Cantina, and Yogi's. The National Transportation Safety Board is investigating. A new report identified Indiana as a leading state for K-12 computer science education. Kirsten Adair reports state education officials want to build on recent success in computer science education and increase the overall enrollment in available courses.
According to the report, 91% of high schools in the state offer foundational computer science education. It also shows Indiana adopted 9 new policies related to computer science in 2023 and has expanded courses in many small and rural schools. Dana Kalfi is a STEM and computer science specialist at the Indiana Department of Education. She says the state has grown computer science considerably over the past 5 to 6 years.
That's pretty amazing and something to be proud of.
Indiana Secretary of Education Katie Jenner says the state should be pleased but not satisfied with its progress. She wants students to view computer science as a major piece of their education. Jenner says the topic will likely come up in this year's legislative session. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Kirsten Adair.
And for our in-depth story today, being a veterinarian and helping animals, large and small, can bring a lot of joy. But Side Effects Public Media's Anna Speidel reports the job also comes with a host of stressors that affect veterinarians' mental health. And the field is starting to have more conversations about it. A warning to listeners, this story contains discussion of mental illness and suicide.
Veterinarians are between 2 to 4 times more likely to die by suicide than the general population.
The truth is, there's a host of factors that can play into it.
That's Carrie Carafa. His office is equipped with a white noise machine that runs in the background. The goal is to make it as soothing and private as possible when he counsels veterinary students at the University of Missouri. Carafa is an embedded psychologist there, and he researches mental health in veterinary professions.
Some cultural facets that we have identified in research are things like perfectionism.
Perfectionism is something that vet student Megan Lawler experiences firsthand. She's a third-year student at MU. She received her white coat and recently started clinical rotations this fall. She started seeing Carafa during her first year. She says he helped her through a tough time.
As a veterinary student, you're striving to still get the best grades and be president of all these clubs. And then it carries on into being a practicing veterinary professional, where you're being not only a caretaker for people's pets, but also their counselor.
Veterinarians, much like pediatricians, treat patients who cannot fully communicate how they feel or what hurts. They also have to attend to worried parents who need answers. This can all add to the stress. Taylor Miller was a small animal veterinarian and is now a mental health counselor. She is also an advocate for Not One More Vet. It's an organization that works to promote mental well-being among veterinary professionals. Miller pushes back against common misconceptions. One of them is that performing euthanasia is the driving factor behind the stress and high suicide rates in the field.
Consistently in practice, despite the grief of a euthanasia, I often found my euthanasia appointments to be the most rewarding. And in those moments, I could make a terrible moment as positive as possible. Obviously, I did not enjoy losing animals. I did not enjoy causing death. But I felt aligned with my clients. I felt like I was doing the right thing for my pets.
There is not conclusive data to suggest that performing euthanasia is a driving factor in veterinary suicides. But studies found that access to euthanasia solution may play a part. Poisoning was the most common mechanism of death among veterinary professionals who died by suicide or in a manner undetermined, according to one study. And most of these incidents happened outside the workplace, at home. Once researchers controlled for access to euthanasia drugs, veterinarian suicide rates were not much different than the general public. Experts say there's a need for broad and serious discussions around changing access to euthanasia drugs.
The profession, when you bring this topic up, they kind of stop talking about it because they're like, well, my situation, we can't do that because of XYZ.
That's Suzanne Tomasi. She's an epidemiologist at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's National Institute for Occupational Health and Safety. Tomasi was a practicing veterinarian. She says, unlike human medicine, the vet world doesn't have gatekeepers like pharmacists. It's the veterinarian that prescribes and dispenses the medication. Some proposed solutions include putting stickers with crisis hotline numbers inside of drug lockboxes or implementing a two-person system of accessing the drugs. But she said many veterinarians push back against controlling access to the drugs because they worry it will impact how quickly they can get to them in case of emergency.
In my mind, I couldn't think of any scenario I had ever been in clinical medicine where I needed access to euthanasia solution quickly.
Tomasi says that cultural changes to improve mental health and reduce job stressors should be the focus, but it's important to include access to lethal means in the conversation for people who are already experiencing a crisis. I'm Anna Speidel, Side Effects Public Media.
If you or someone you know are in a mental health crisis, you can call the Mental Health Crisis and Suicide Prevention Line 988 or text TALK to 741741. Side Effects Public Media is a health reporting collaboration of NPR member stations across the Midwest. It's based at WFYI. That's all for today's episode of WFYI News Now. Our podcast is produced by the following people who live in your community: Aubriana Heron, Kendall Antron, who composed the music for this podcast, and me, Darian Benson. Our news director is Sarah Neil Estes. If you liked today's episode, remember to subscribe and share. And find us wherever you get your podcasts to hear more stories about your community. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more local news and headlines.